2009 National Crisis Bible Study, lesson number 77, May the 20th, 2009. Things are happening so fast in the world these days that by the time I get around to talk about them and you get the tapes, everything is outdated. The pandemic, flu rise and fall panic is over due to throat problems. I am first time I've been able to teach a class since April 28th, along with some other health problems. But hopefully we're able to get back in the saddle again and try to get some more stuff cranked out, particularly get the next group of tapes out, the scramble tapers. But we're living in fast-moving times. Last night, May 19th, down here we're settling down the end of spring in Seattle to get our usual spring showers and little things down there. Instead, Seattle was tested yesterday, a major pipeline rupture. Most of the whole pipe that they put in there was put in there, the big water pipe was put in for drinking water and all 100 years ago, which they figured at that time was going to last 100 to 150 years. Well, big rupture flooded all kind of houses in one area yesterday. Lightning and thunder strikes, which are not that common west of the Cascade Mountains, are becoming more common since the eruption of Mount St. Helens. I've noticed last night a lot of people lost power in various areas of Seattle. We did not, as lightning bolts were hitting transformers and blowing them up. One thing on TV they showed was a picture where the neighbor said the lightning struck the tree, bounced off the tree, and that's what lightning does. I'm from down in lightning country in the deep south years ago, growing up around it. Bounced off the tree, hit the power line, ran down, blew the transformer out. Fire jumped from the blazing transformer and set the telephone pole on fire next to it. Same time there was hail falling out in West Seattle. Interesting times that we live in, but God is in control of everything. The judgment remains upon this nation. We were dealing with the five cycles of divine judgment in the last class out of Leviticus. We saw some concepts of them. Today we're back in Hosea chapter 4, verse 2. We'll do the whole, or six cycles, I should say, of divine judgment. We'll deal with all of them. The sixth one being the final destruction of a nation. Hopefully further along in this series after we finish up Hosea, what we're dealing with, God's indictment of a nation. Hosea 4, 2. Reading from the King James translation so you don't lose track of where we're at here now, as we've been taking this apart one word at a time. Let's take up with verse 1. Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel, for the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. The key there is no knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out blood and blood toucheth blood. All right, before we begin, let's pause for silent prayer to give you time to make sure you're on the filling of the Spirit, have objectivity to the teaching of the word of God. Shall we pray? Our God and Father, we thank you for the privilege of teaching your word, for your word is absolute truth. We claim your promise, your word will not return void, will accomplish all that you designed it for. We ask you to sanctify it in the blessed name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and be glory, both now and forever. Amen. All right, we have looked at the doctrine of swearing, the doctrine of lying, the doctrine of murder. Killing there is murder. Murder is the greatest of all overt crimes with the human race concerning temporal life, because it removes the ability of someone to be able to deal with their spiritual relationship to Almighty God. This brings us We're going to next take up. The concept here of adultery. I'm sorry, of stealing. My apology, it's been a month and my notes had gotten slightly out of line. We finished the doctrine of stealing before we came back to murder and the concept with blood touching blood. One murder after another, serial murder concept that we're dealing with. We're actually down to the doctrine of adultery. We have by swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery. Hosea 4:2 says the result is doctrinal translation I've given you is swearing a false oath by government leaders and officials, by leaders of business, commerce, finance, and industry, and by citizens in general in their daily relationships, and by lying slander, that is by reversionistic believers and unbelievers against persons of God, His holy character, His plan against His saints. And the crimes of murder and stealing are rampant in the land. All right, then we continue in committing adultery. In the Hebrew, we have N-A-A-P-H. The root word means to have sexual intercourse with the wife or husband or the fiancé of another person. The root word means to have sexual intercourse with the wife or husband or the fiancé of another person. The Hebrew word zana, Z-A-N-A, is translated fornication and speaks of heterosexual activity outside of marriage. Zana is referenced then to illicit heterosexual activity. But naaf refers not only to the sexual act, but also to the violation of the marriage vows. There's a stronger difference here, and you must understand that. Both are sins. Don't misunderstand me. But God is speaking here of the destruction of the marriage this way. Thus, naaf is a direct attack upon God's laws of divine establishment for temporal life in the area of marriage and carries with it a stronger connotation. Since a nation to survive must have strong marriages and strong family ties, and adultery is treason because it undermines the whole social fiber of the nation. Think about that. I first taught this back in the 1970s, late 1970s, and got some real upset people over it. Taught it several times over the years. Adultery is treason because it undermines the whole social fiber of the nation. Naaf is never used to signify professional prostitutes, so we have before us a crime that manifests itself against the legitimate institution of marriage and not just an act of sexual immorality as we would have if we zana. This brings us to the doctrine of adultery, and when we finish it, you should have a whole new perspective on the issues of sexual activity in opposition to the institute of marriage and God's judgment upon it. All right, the doctrine of adultery, point one. The Hebrew word for adultery, I repeat it, is N-A-A-P-H, which refers to heterosexual relationships between a married person or an engaged person and someone who is not their husband, wife, or fiancé. We add the concept of fiancé or fiancée, male or female, engaged person. The concept of an engaged person because under Hebrew law, the Hebrew marriage law, an engagement was a legal contract. Whether verbal or written, much of it was verbal in the early years. We had the concept of an engaged person because under the marriage law, under Hebrew marriage law, an engagement was a legal contract, either verbal or written. Point two, God has authorized sexual activity between a husband and a wife. Genesis 2, 24. Reading from the King James translation, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." Cleave there in the Hebrew means to have sexual intercourse. A, prior to marriage, an engagement was to take place, called a betrothal, which was a legal commitment to marry by both parties and carried with it certain responsibilities if they were already married. Matthew 1, 18 and 19. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise: when his mother Mary was a spouse that was engaged to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately, He was going to have to divorce her to accomplish this. He was going to privately have an abortion done. He did not want to embarrass her. Although Joseph and Mary were not yet married, so sacred was the period of engagement of betrothal that they were by custom considered as if they were married, says Dr. Charles Ryrie in Ryrie's Bible Study book. All right, look at Genesis 29:21. Let me read again to you, Ryrie from Ryrie's Study Bible. Although Joseph and Mary were not yet married, so sacred was the period of engagement of betrothal that they were, by custom, considered as if they were married. All right, Genesis 29:21. And Jacob said unto Laban, "Give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled, that I may go into her." Deuteronomy 22:23-30. And a man shall not take his father's wife, nor discover. Let's go back to verse 23. Start at 23. If a damsel is a virgin, be betrothed unto a husband, and a man find her in the city and lie with her, then you shall bring them both out of the gate of that city, and you shall stone them with stones that they die. This is the girl, a woman, voluntarily, after she's engaged to one, having sex with another. Damsel, because she cried not being in the city, and the man being because he hath humbled his neighbor's wife, so that they shall put away evil from among them. Notice she's only a virgin betrothed. If a man find a betrothed damsel in the field, the man force her, that's rape, and lie with her, then the man only that lie with her shall die. But under the damsel that shall know nothing, there is a damsel no sin worthy of death. Whereas when a man riseth against his neighbor and slayeth him, even so is this matter, for he found her in the field, and the betrothed damsel cried, there was none to save her. For a man found a damsel that's a virgin, not betrothed, and lay on her and lie with her, and they be found, and the man that lay with her shall give the damsel's father 50 shekels of silver, and she shall be his wife, because he hath humbled her, he may not put her away all his days. A man shall not take his father's wife, nor discover his father's skirt. Jeremiah 31. Ephesians 5:31 first. Ephesians 5:31. For the holy concept of marriage and the laws of divine establishment, for temporal living, God has placed His divine, and that means His holy blessing upon legitimate marriage. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall join unto his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 22b. For the Lord hath created a new thing in the earth, a woman shall compass a man. That is the picture of sexual intercourse. The woman's body covering the man as the man fulfills the woman. Would be the word for fornication, zanah, z-a-n-a-h in the Hebrew, means all illicit heterosexual activity, but can include homosexual activity. We just read Deuteronomy 22:23-30. Principle: thus, the command against fornication includes all premarital sex, even after the legal engagement has been entered into. Ezekiel 16:32-36. Now, if you've ever been engaged in adultery or fornication, confess the sin to God and move on. If you had premarital sex, and square away with God and move on. Jesus Christ paid for all sin, but to promote it and condone it today is evil, as it was in Christ's day, or as it was in the day of the children of Adam and Eve. Ezekiel 16:32-36 says, "But as a wife that committeth adultery, which is taking strangers instead of her husband, they give gifts to all whores, but thou givest thy gift to all thy lovers, and hirest them, that they have come unto thee on every side for the whoredom, and the contrary is to thee from other women in thy whoredoms. Wherefore is done falling thee to commit whoredoms, and in that thou givest a reward, and no reward is given unto thee, therefore they are contrary. Wherefore, while I hear the word of the Lord, thus saith the Lord God, because thy filthiness was poured out, thy nakedness discovered from thy whoredoms with thy lovers, by all thy idols and thy abominations, and by the blood of thy children which thou hast given to them." God's condemnation of sexual immorality. Once see, the bride was to go to her marriage on a bed of virgin. A, if she was not a virgin, the marriage could be nullified, Deuteronomy 24:1. Of course, not if she was not a virgin by the man she was contracted to, obviously. When a man had taken a wife and married her, and it came to pass she found no favor in his eyes because he had found some uncleanness in her, then let him write her a bill of divorce and give it to her hand and send her out of his house. Two, but if proof existed she was a virgin, then the marriage could not be nullified in that way, Deuteronomy 22:13-19. A man take a wife and go into her and hate her and give occasion of speech against her and bring up an evil name upon her and say, "I took this woman when I came to her, I found her not a maid." And shall the father of the damsel or mother take and bring forth the tokens of the damsel's virginity unto the elders of the city of the gate. My apology for the interruption, but they are essential with the problems that my wife and I have. Okay. Let's start over. If any man take a wife and go in unto her and hate her and give occasion of speech against her and bring her unto the evil name and upon her and say, "I took this woman and when I came to her I found her not a maid," then shall the father of the damsel and her mother take and bring forth the tokens of the damsel's virginity unto the elders of the city of the gate. This is a sheet showing the blood from the original laws of virginity. And the damsel's father shall say to the elders, "I gave my daughter to this man, and he hated her. And lo, he hath occasion of her speech against her, saying, I found not the daughter a maid, and yet these are the tokens of my daughter's virginity, and they shall spread the cloth before the elders of the city. The elders of the city shall take the man and chastise him, and they shall immerse him in 100 shekels of silver and give them unto the father of the damsel, because he hath brought up an evil name upon a virgin of Israel, and she shall be his wife. He may not put her away all these days, his days." However, if the wife was guilty, loss of virginity prior to marriage. Sub 1-3, loss of virginity prior to marriage was punishable by capital punishment. Deuteronomy 22:20. But if it is true that the tokens of the virgin was not found for the damsel, then they shall bring out the damsel to the door of her father's house, and the men of the city shall stone her. With stones she shall die, because she had wrought folly in Israel to play the whore in her father's house. So shall they put evil away from among you. Now think about that. There's a lot of people want to put us back under the law. And we've been redeemed from the law, but the law teaches moral standards, and the moral standard teaches the seriousness that God puts upon premarital sex. When a virgin could be taken, a non-virgin woman could be stoned to death for having sex prior to marriage. And notice what it says. It says that she hath wrought folly in Israel. Look at Genesis 34:7. And the sons of Jacob came out of the field when they heard it, and the men were grieved, and they were very wroth, because he had wrought folly in Israel in lying with Jacob's daughter, which things ought not to have been done. The man had taken Dinah, the daughter of Leah, which she had borne to Jacob, and Shechem, the son of Hamor the Hivite, had taken her for sex. He was going to die for it. We don't have time to look into the whole facts and figures of the case that way. The serious concept of it and what it brings down. The word folly there means a disgrace. In verse 6, the father of Hamor had approached Jacob in order to arrange a marriage between Dinah and Shechem. Hamor's father proposal of intermarriage of two groups was accepted on the condition that his family be circumcised. In verse 15, down there, only God's law for that. But you see the seriousness of the situation. God says it brought folly in the land. Judges 20, verse 6. Disgrace to the land, the Hebrew. Judges 20, verse 6. I took my concubine and cut her in pieces and sent her throughout all the country and inheritance of Israel, for they had committed lewdness and folly in Israel. Now the man there, as we've already studied, was an evil man. He let him have his concubine wife to rape all night, and he in piousness got upset about it. Verse 10, and we will take 10 of 100, we will take 10 men of 100 throughout all the tribes of Israel, and 100 1,000 out of 10,000 to fetch victual to the people, for they may do when they come to Gibeah of Benjamin, according to all the folly that is the disgrace that was wrought in Israel. 2 Samuel 13, 12 and 13. And she answered, "Nay, my brother, do not force me, for no such thing ought to be done in Israel. Do not thou this folly or this disgrace. And I, whether shall I cause my shame to go? And as for thee, thou shalt be as one of the fools of Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, then speak unto the king, for he will not withhold me from it." This was when Ammon raped his half-sister Tamar. Major point 3. Nations have the right to forbid adultery because it is a criminal act by the divine decree of Almighty God, Exodus 20:14. He Even though we're not under the law typifies something and allows the freedom to adopt it. Thou shalt not commit adultery. A nation has the right to pass a law against adultery. Deuteronomy 5:18. God did not give the law directly to us. But the pattern of it can be learned and built upon, as our original laws of this nation were built upon it. Deuteronomy 5:18. Thou neither shalt thou commit adultery. Again repeated. Point 4. In adultery, God makes both the man and the woman equally guilty under the law and condemns them both to be executed by the government of the nation. Leviticus 20, verse 10. The problem has been the hypocrisy. Many times women have been stoned to death for adultery and the man's got off, as happens in the Islamic world today under the Taliban law. Leviticus 20, verse 10. And the man that committeth adultery with another man's wife, even he that committeth adultery with his neighbor's wives, the adulterers and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. That's why often certain areas, I shouldn't say the Taliban, but I mean, a lot of the Islamic things we read in the papers there. That's why there's a lot of tribal vengeance over this. It goes on as the tribes take up the things, particularly in the Pakistan, Afghanistan, two of the countries I've read the most about this. Number 8, the Lord Jesus Christ refused to usurp the authority of the civil courts in the case of the woman taken in adultery, John 8, 3-11. And the scribes and the Pharisees, okay. Jesus went out on the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. He's holding a Bible class there in the temple. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken adultery, which they had set in her in the midst. And they said unto him, Master, this woman was taken adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded that they us that thou should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. All right, Jesus bends down and writes something on the ground. We do not know what he wrote on the ground. I've heard much speculation about this over the years. But we have no idea what he wrote on the ground because Scripture does not tell us. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him be the first to cast a stone. And again he stooped down and wrote upon the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted of their own conscience, went out one by one, because beginning at the eldest, even to the last, and Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Now, first of all, they did not bring the man. Secondly, Jesus Christ was not a judge in Israel. This was the court to handle the case. It should have been taken under the law before the Sanhedrin, under the current law of that day in Israel. They did not do this. Christ had no, was not yet crowned king, so he had no kingly authority. He had no right to usurp the normal government of the country, and he refused to do so, but he did not condone the sin. He did tell her to go and sin no more. See, the day of Christ's judgment is the white throne judgment, not today. For the unbeliever, the judgment seat of Christ for the believer. But he was yet to make atonement for the sin on the cross. Did not mean that he condoned the sin of adultery at all. Lord B, had he condemned the woman to death, he would have been guilty of usurping the authority of the nation of Rome and been an illegal vigilante judge in Israel. He had no authority under Roman law or under Hebrew law. See, those who brought her to him were dangerous hypocrites, because they did not bring the man who was guilty under the Mosaic Law, who was also guilty under the Mosaic Law. Why were they dangerous? Because they would divide and pervert justice, condemn the woman, and spare the man. This is hypocrisy. Point D. Furthermore, at the time Israel was under the fourth cycle of divine discipline, did not possess the right to execute a criminal, John 18:31. And said, Paul, unto them, take ye him and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, it is not lawful for us to put any man to death. Believe, because it was a mob action, Christ challenged them concerning their own personal sins and thus broke up the law. Then because he was the God man, he challenged the woman to repent of her sins. He did not nullify the law against adultery or the penalty of capital punishment, nor could he, because he supported the law in every aspect. Romans 10:4. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Point 5, adultery is only one aspect of a criminal mind, Jeremiah 7, 8-10. Behold, you trust in lying words, but cannot profit. Will you steal, murder, commit adultery, and swear falsely, and burn incense unto Baal, and walk after other gods whom you know not, and come and stand before me in the house which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations? A. Adultery relates to deception and is connected to lying. Principle, when a believer commits adultery, it is a sin against the holiness of God. Because God, as a holy God, has established the boundaries of marriage and sexual activity. B. Stealing is associated with adultery because the adulterer has stolen from his sexual partner's husband or wife that which belongs to him. C. Adultery is connected to swearing a false oath because the adulterer blasphemes the marriage vows they have taken before God. D. Adultery is connected to demonism and pagan worship because sexual perversion is a part of the religious ritual of the faded cult. E. The adulterer has rejected God's standard for marriage, so he or she is said to be walking after false gods while they involve an adulterous relationship. F. God condemns the toleration of all the crimes, which are also sins by those who assemble together as the redeemed of God. 6. God says that adultery destroys the ability for someone to have fellowship with God, is thus a destroyer of your soul and temporal life. Proverbs 6:32. Whoso commits adultery with a woman lacketh understanding, he that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. 4:7, adultery is done in secret because the adulterer always knows it is wrong, Job 24:15. The eye also of an adulterer waiteth for the twilight, saying, no eye shall see me, and disguises his face. Hey, no man or woman with any degree of mental competence cannot understand the clear, specific mandate of God not to commit adultery. Matthew 5:27. You have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. E, thus no woman, once she understands the meaning of the commandment against adultery, is ever seduced because she allows her soul to become involved in negative volition with this mandate of God. I repeat, thus no woman, once she understands the meaning of the commandment against adultery, is ever seduced because she allows her soul to become involved in negative volition with this mandate of God. James 4:17. The Bible says the woman is co-guilty. She has no right to blame the man. Therefore, for man, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. See, adultery begins as a mental attitude, sin in the mind, Matthew 5:28. Begins as a mental attitude, sin in the mind, Matthew 5:28. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. When a woman is led into illicit sexual activity, it is because she has filled her soul with sexual lust, and she allows herself to be led into the overt fulfillment of those lusts. 2 Timothy 3:6. Now I know this goes against political correctness often in the church, but they're wrong. It's what the Word of God says, not what I say. 2 Timothy 3:6. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins and led away with diverse lust. Silly women led away. We have to face the realities of life in a degenerate society in which we now live. Silly women means weak women. These women, apparently because of sin, were changeable of mind, prone to accept new ideas, and swayed by impulses. Point E. An adulterer has a lifestyle that is a lie because he has abandoned. Adulterers should be plural, as a lifestyle that is a lie because they have abandoned their marriage vows. Jeremiah 23:14. And I have seen also the prophets of Jerusalem, a horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They strengthen the hands of evildoers, that none doth return from his evil. They are all of them unto me as Sodom, and the inhabitants thereof, of Gomorrah. Principle, God compares adultery to homosexuality because both are personal sins and crimes against marriage and nationalism. I'm going to read that verse again, this time from the New American Standard, to give you both translations of it, because this verse is so important in the relationship of what's going on. And then the prophets of Jerusalem have seen a horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in falsehood, and they strengthen the hand of evildoers, so no one has turned back from his wickedness. All of them have become to me like Sodom. Sodom represents homosexuality. Their inhabitants like Gomorrah, also the same thing. It's part of the description of the immoral conduct of the false prophets. Point 8. When a mad woman commits adultery, it often causes murder. Ezekiel 16:38. You can see I've done my homework on this subject. And I will judge thee as a woman that break wedlock and shed blood are judged, and I will give thee blood in fury and jealousy. Point B. I'm sorry, point A. An adulteress is compared by God to a professional whore. Ezekiel 23:43-45. This is strong language from the Word of God. Ezekiel 23:43-45. Then said I unto her that was old and adulterous, Will I now commit whoredoms with her, and she with them? Yet they went in unto her as they go in unto a woman that playeth the harlot. So they went in unto Aholah, and unto Aholibah, the lewd women, and the righteous men that shall judge them after the manner of adulterers, and after the manner of women that shed blood, because they're adulterers. And blood is on their hands. Blood, the murder that come out of adultery. Aholah means she who has a tent. Aholibah means a tent is in her. The reference to tent symbolizes God's dwelling with his people. And as views, the tent is associated with false worship and with the prostitution that went with pagan worship. So we have the allegory of two sisters, Samaria representing the northern kingdom of Israel, Jerusalem representing the southern kingdom. Describe the unfaithfulness and punishment of Aholah, that's Samaria. The unfaithfulness of Aholah, that's Jerusalem. Comparing it to whoredom, to adultery, whoredom. And the resulting murder and bloodshed. A nation in spiritual adultery, falling after pagan gods, just as the United States is today, is no different than the man and the woman who are married committing adultery with other people. And the woman is considered to be a whore. B, when God judges a reversionistic client nation, he condemns the adulterer and the adulteress, declaring that they are like the adulteress who has blood on her hands, having caused a murder, Ezekiel 23:45-49. And the righteous men, they shall judge them after the manner of adulterers, after the manner of women that shed blood, because they're adulterers and blood is on their hands. For thus saith the Lord God, I will bring up a company upon them and will give them to be removed and spoiled. And the company shall stone them with stones and dispatch them with their swords. They shall slay their sons and their daughters and burn up their houses with fire. Thus will I cause lewdness to cease out of the land, that all the women may be taught not to do after your lewdness, and they shall recompense your lewdness unto you, and you shall bear the sins of your idols, and you shall know that I am the Lord God. You realize, of course, if we were actually under the Mosaic law in this country and enforced the Mosaic law, we wouldn't have very many people left in this nation. Think about it. Hollywood is filling the minds of the American people with adultery. You see the ads on TV for such things as girls gone wild and all the rest of it. Lasting marriages is a hard and strange thing to happen. Just noticed in the paper yesterday, my wife caught, I missed it, the obituary on Margaret Catherine Vanney, who was the wife of Edo Vanney, longtime baseball player, manager, and baseball official out here that I knew years ago when I was involved in connection with the baseball world, the old-timers baseball world in this area. She came out of a heritage of Icelandic and Canadian. She grew up on Lake Winnipeg in Manitoba. Met Edo up in Vancouver and married him, but it was interesting. They were married in 1947 and were married till Edo passed away a couple of years ago. They got 60 years of marriage. It's amazing that how things have changed in this world today. And I've known professional ball players who went through a half a dozen wives. Sad to say. I've known Christians are like that. Yesterday in downtown, my wife and I ran into a Christian man that I tried to get into the deeper study of the Word of God a few years ago. Didn't know him that well. Never succeeded. He got saved. His wife didn't want to stay married to him. They wound up divorced. The man now has his hair wildly looking and down to his shoulders like the hair of a woman. No idea what he's doing, got no spiritual concept out of it. I've not seen him for a year or so. He told me he was being told he was going to lose a job, but he actually was able to go to work for another company, took over the work from the company he was with and went out of business or whatever, and was still working. That was all he told me. Talked to us for a minute. Had to call him twice before he heard me and asked me. He saw us, but he didn't really want to speak to us, I don't think. He had to take his little iPod out of his ear. But try to encourage the man for a minute. But sad, it's a broken marriage. He got saved. The wife didn't want to live with a married man, with a Christian. She wanted the party world. He told me that the woman loved the juke joints of America. The bars. She liked to go out and hang out in the bar, and she didn't want to give that up. Marriage and home life doesn't exist in America today. But I'll tell you something, there's nothing more sad than to see an old lady sitting around a honky-tonk. Well, I guess they don't call them that anymore. Juke joints, they don't have juke boxes. I guess they don't call them juke joints anymore either. See, I'm showing my age. With some old floozy sitting there at the bar sipping booze. Won't just anybody to pay attention to her because she's so lonely, miserable, and her sins. The hard, crusty old man without anyone to love him. Serious things related to this. See, the righteous judges are to condemn adultery in the nation, Exodus 23:45. And the righteous men, they shall judge them after the matter of adultery, and after the matter of women, they shed blood because they're adulterers and blood is on their hands. We're not on the Mosaic Law, I realize that. And we've repealed our laws against adultery, basically, in this country. Point D, if not, God will have another conquer that nation and put all those perverted people to death. That's verses 47-49. Company shall stone them with swords. They shall slay their sons and their daughters and burn up their houses with fire. This will I cause lewdness to cease out of the land. And all the women may be taught not to do after lewdness. And they shall recompense your lewdness for you, and you shall bear the sins of your idols, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God. And here's the principle. Thus adultery is treason against the nation. Exodus 16:35. And the children of Israel did eat manna 40 years until they came into a land inhabited. They did eat manna until they came into the borders of the land of Cana. I'm sorry, women, I've got the wrong thing here. Ezekiel 16, I'm sorry. Ezekiel 16, my apologies. Wherefore, hearken, hear the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, because thy filthiness was poured out, thy nakedness discovered through thy whoredoms with thy lovers, and with all the idols and the abominations, and by the blood of thy children which thou hast given to them. Behold, therefore, I will gather all thy lovers with whom thou hast taken pleasure, and all them that thou hast loved, and all them that thou hast hated. I will even gather them round about against thee, and will discover thy nakedness unto them, that they may see all thy nakedness. I will judge thee as a woman that breaketh wedlock and shed blood are judged, and I will give thee blood in fury and jealousy. And I will also give thee into their hand, and they shall throw down thine eminent places, and shall break down the high places. They shall strip thee also thy clothes, and shall take their fair jewels, and leave thee naked and bare. And they shall bring up a company against thee, and they shall stone thee with stones, and thrust thee through with swords. And they shall burn thine houses with fire and execute judgment. This is the conquest of a nation, you'll notice. Upon thee in the sight of many women, I will cause thee to cease from playing the harlot. And thou shalt also give no hire any more. So will I make my fury toward thee to rest, and my jealousy shall depart from thee, and I will be quiet. And I will be no more angry. Mm-hmm. Because I was not remembering the days of thy youth, but thou hast fretted me in all these things. Behold, therefore, I will also recompense thy way upon thine head, saith the Lord God. Thou shalt not commit this lewdness above all thine abominations. Behold, everyone that uses proverbs shall use this proverb against thee, saying, as the mother, so is her daughter. Thou art thy mother's daughter, thy loath her husband, her children. Thou art the sister of thy sisters, which loath her husbands and their children. Your mother was a Hittite, and your father was an Amorite. And thy elder sister is Samaria, she and her daughters that dwell at the left hand, and thy younger sister that dwelleth at the right hand is Sodom and her daughters. Yet thou hast thou not walked after their ways, nor done their abominations, but as they were a very little thing, thou wast corrupted more than they in all thy ways. As I live, saith the Lord God, Sodom thy sister has not done, she nor her daughters as thou hast done, thou and thy daughters. Why? Why was Sodom not as guilty as Jerusalem and Israel? Because Israel was given the word of God. To whom much is given, much shall be required. Verse 49. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom, pride and fullness of bread. And abundance of vileness was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and the needy. And they were haughty and committed abominations before me. Therefore I took them away as I saw good. Neither hath Samaria committed half thy sins. But thou hast multiplied thy abominations more than they. And hast justified thy sisters in all thy abominations which thou hast done. Thou also, which hast judged thy sisters, bear thine own shame for thy sins that thou hast committed more abominable than they. They are more righteous than thou. Yea, be thou confounded also, and bear thy shame. And thou that hast justified thy sisters. Notice Sodom was more righteous than Jerusalem. The connections of all the sins and the perversions together and the bringing about of it in treason. Point 9, when the government tolerates adultery, it's an evil nation. Just as if it had authorized, legalized stealing. Psalm 50, verses 16 to 21. Psalm 50, 16 to 21. For thou dost not sacrifice, else would I give, and thou delightest not in thy burnt offerings. A sacrifice to God are a broken spirit. That's 51, 50. 16 to 21. Where the wicked God saith, why hast thou to do to declare my statutes, or that thou shouldest take my covenant into thy mouth, saying thou hast heedest instruction, cast thy words unto thee, when thou sawest a thief, and thou consentest with him, and hast been partakers with adulterers. Thou give the mouth to evil, and thy tongue frameth deceit. Thou sittest and speakest against thy brother, thy slanderest thine own mother's son. These things hast thou done, I keep silent. Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such as one in thyself, but I will reprove thee and set them in order before thine eyes. Principle. While we are practicing sin, we are forgetting about God. While we're practicing sin, we are forgetting about God. Anytime we start getting into sinful practices, God is put aside as long as we're in the sin. Verse 22, consider this. He that forgot God, lest I tear you in pieces and there be none to deliver. Point 10. The woman who practices adultery and fornication for the sexual pleasure of sex only is incapable of recognizing her evil because she's under false delusion within her soul. The woman who practices fornication or adultery for sensual pleasure only, sensual pleasure of sex only, is incapable of recognizing her evil because she is under the false delusion within her soul. Proverbs 30, verse 20. The woman puts herself in self-delusion for sexual pleasure. Such is the way of an adulterous woman. She eateth and wipeth her mouth and saith, I have done no wickedness. Why? Because she found pleasure in what she was doing. She was happy doing it. And she thought that was the best thing in life. See, a woman thinks because a man has sex with her that he cares about her often. Because he sees nothing wrong with it if it feels good and she likes it. Hey, children of an adulterer are like the children of an occult worshiper. Of a professional whore, they are the products of a sinful, evil lifestyle. Isaiah 57, 3 and 4. But draw near hither, your sons of the sorceress, the seed of the adulterer and the whore, against whom do you sport yourselves? Sport means having sexual play. Against whom made you wide mouth and draw out the tongue? Are you not children of transgression, the seed of falsehood? Verses 7 and 9. Upon a lofty and high mountain hast thou set thy bed, even thither wentest thou to offer sacrifice. Behold, the doors also and the posts hast thou set to remembrance, for thou hast discovered thyself to another than me. And I gone up, thou hast enlarged thy bed, and made thee a covenant with them that lovest their bed, where thou sawest it, and thou wentest to the king with ointment, and didst increase thy perfume, and didst send thy messengers far off, and didst base thyself even unto Sheol. Hell in the King James, Sheol. What happened? In their sexual degeneracy and their pleasures of what they were doing, they got involved. They went up on the mountain of evil. The practice where the phallic cult was being practiced. Malachi 3:5. And I will come near to you to judgment. I will be swift witness against sorcerers, against adulterers, against the false swearers, against those that oppress the hirelings in his ways, the widow and the fatherless, and they that turn aside the stranger from his right, and fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts. Notice God puts in the same group with adulterers, sorcerers, those are devil worshippers, of course, those who cheat people out of the wages they're entitled to, and those who oppress widows and orphans. Think about it. God throws a whole group in the same condemnation. Isaiah 1:4. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel into anger. They have gone away backward. Verse 21. How is the faithful city become a harlot? It was full of judgment. Righteousness lodged in it. But now, murderers. Matthew 16:4. Time is up. We may not get this one in. Matthew 16:4. A wicked adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. There shall no sign be given it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them and departed. Alright, we'll pick up here in the next class. Father, we thank you for the privilege of teaching your word, for your word is absolute truth. Again, we claim your promise. It will not return void. We'll accomplish all you designed it for. It's just sanctified and blessed in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. So even so come, Lord Jesus. Amen.